Okay, so we are now beginning the next sugya in Baba Batra. We're up to Chaf Gimel Amud Bet, and I'm going to publicly apologize. Rabbi Turchiner gave me a little bit of a hard time for not having a creative title here, so I apologize that I don't have a creative title for this shir. The shir is our Mishnah on Chaf Gimel Amud Bet, and an introduction to Rov Vikarov. Rav Yehuda Mann will, God willing, next week be giving a really, really like... really getting into the sugya of Rov Vikarov and what it all means. But I wanted to, we're just going to give a little brief introduction, maybe framework a little bit to just introduce us to the sugya of Rov Vikarov that I think we're going to take a couple weeks actually to really fully do. But before we get to Rov Vikarov, I wanted to just spend just simply looking at our Mishnah. And I initially was thinking, what are we going to do for this week? I started looking at the Mishnah and looking at the commentaries on the Mishnah. I thought, okay, the real interesting stuff here is once you get to the Gemara. But actually, when I started looking at some of the commentaries on the Mishnah, I saw there's actually what to discuss about the Mishnah. So we're going to start with the Mishnah, which is source number one. The Mishnah is Nipol HaNimtza B'toch Chamishim Mama, Harei Hu Shel Baal HaShovach, Chutz Mish Chamishim Mama, Harei Hu Shel Motzo, Nimtza Bein Shnei Shovachot, Karov Lezeh Shelo, Karov Lezeh Shelo, Mechza Mechza, Shneihem Yachloku. So the Mishnah gives, there are three scenarios. If this bird is found within Chamishim Mama, then it goes to the Shovach. If it's within 50 amot of the shovach, it goes to that shovach. If it's beyond those 50 amot, then it goes to whoever finds it. And if it's found somewhere in the middle of them, I'm going to skip to like the second part of the last half is what we're going to focus on. If it's found, you know, it's in the middle, it's close to both, equidistant from two shovachs, so then it's yachloku. So we're going to talk about each of these pieces. We're not going to go in the order of the Mishnah. We're going to do the order that I learned it in, and also I think it might make more conceptual sense to go in this order that we're going to present right now. But we're going to explore these three parts of the Mishnah. Why, if it's beyond, why he keeps it. If it's within 50 amot, it goes to the Baal HaShovach. And then if it's somewhere in the middle, then it's they split it. So starting with the second part, which is if it's beyond 50 amot, then it's mine. I found it, it's mine. So avadnu et hashavat aveda. Where is the mitzvah of hashavat? Why don't I have to return it to the? But why is it that it's once it's beyond 50 amot, I can just keep it? What's the reason for that? So the Nimuke Yosef in source number 2 says chutz mechamishim ama hariv shil shel motzo mishum devade lo mahani shavachim kevan shehamedada ena medada yoter mechamishim. Right, we're assuming that this nipul. And I think I saw someone say this, but I don't remember now who said it. But it's the word nipul, because it's nafal, like it falls and it can't really fly. It's just hopping around. And this bird is never going to be able to hop its way beyond 50 amot. So the fact that now you found it beyond 50 amot from this shovach over here, clearly it doesn't belong to that shovach, because there's no way that that bird would have got from that shovach all the way over here. So it doesn't belong to that shovach. It doesn't belong to the owner of that shovach. Hilkach, al korchach me'ovrei drachim nafal. V'yesh. So you have to say, since it's not from that guy's shovach, it must be that it was from some guy walking down the road, guy or gal. Someone was traveling along the road, had a bird in his pocket. I don't know. The bird fell out of his pocket. And what was that? Broke its wing. Yeah. So, but it fell. The point is that it fell from an ovrei drachim. And he had yush. Ein bazeh siman. He has no siman. It fell. He realized he lost it somewhere. He's like, I'm never going to be able to recover this bird. It's got no siman. It's lost. If it had been, he had a siman, that would, you would have to be tzarich lachriz. But since it doesn't have a siman, havei shel motzo, I can say, look, I found this bird. It's clearly not from that shovach, so I can keep it because it must fell out of the guy's pocket. And no way he was ever going to recover it, so it's shel motzo. That's the way that Muka Yosef understands it. The Shulchan Aruch, I'm giving the Shulchan Aruch to get to the siman, source number 4, but the Shulchan Aruch goes, like the Mishnah goes al shemadada perish shemit moded shemit noded ve'ini yachol lifrach, can't fly nimtza karov leshovach b'toch chamishim amah, if it's close to a shovach within 50 harei shabal shovach chutz lechamishim amah harei shel motzo, if it's beyond 50 it's the finders sheina goes al medada yoter al chamishim amah, because it can't get, it's never going to be able to get further than 50 amot. So if you find it beyond 50 amot from the shovach, it's clearly not that guy's. So the sma source number 4 harei hu shel motzo. He says, "Dekevan deleka lemitli mishovach nadada uva sham." Since you can't say that it's from the shovach and it got all the way here because it can't travel that far, Amrinan Ovrei Derachim Avrusham V'Novlim Mehem. So it must be, we'll say, okay, couldn't be from that guy, so it must have been that it was from some person traveling on the road, and it fell out of his pocket. And then he adds something, so that's similar to what the Nimuka Yosef said, but he adds an additional piece. V'ruba de'alma ha'ovrim v'shavim goyim ninhu. And he says, and presumably, the person whose bird fell out of his pocket must have been a non-Jew. And so, this goes back a little bit to what we talked about the week after Purim, but there would be no requirement then, it seems according to this Ma, there's no requirement since it belongs to a non-Jew. Maybe he would say that if it belonged to a Jew, well, we'll see, but if it belonged to a Jew, maybe you would say you would have to try to return it, but the fact that it belonged to a non-Jew, maybe we'll say, again, going back to what we talked about the Shabbos after Purim, about Hashavat Aveda and Gezel Ha'akum and Hashavat Aveda, we talked a little bit about this over a month ago, but there's elements of that here, but saying that, okay, it must have belonged to a non-Jew, so you don't have to worry about it, that's why you can keep it. And source number five, Tosfot Yom Tov, quotes both of these. He quotes first the Nimuke Yosef. He says, it's clearly not from one of these shovachs, it's beyond 50. It has to be that it's from some traveler, and he had yush. He says, Volk, Cohen, the Sma, Volk. He had a European accent. He called him Volk. I don't know where the Tosfot Yom Tov was from, actually. But okay, he called him Volk.
It was from Krakow.
Okay, Krakow. So, Volk. Okay. Quoting the Sma here is, Tam mishum devei derachim rubam akumhen. He says, he quotes him. He says, I don't understand that idea. He says, Daha b'mishnah gimel b'perek bet b'metzia muchach de'en b'gozalot siman. He says, but the whole idea here is that gozalot, they don't have a siman. And I gave you just this mishnah that he's referring to in a little footnote number one, that the implication of that mishnah is that one of these little birds, they don't actually have a siman. Even if you were to tie up the bird, and there's no siman to them. So the Tosfot Yom Tov says, V'imken, afilu rov over drachim Yisrael shari. If the whole idea that I can keep it is because it lacks a siman, so why are you telling me that it has to be that, oh, it must be that all the people who are traveling are not Jewish? Even if the traveler was Jewish, there's no siman, I can keep it. So he doesn't understand why the Sma has to come to this point to say, Ruba de alma ha'ovrim v'shavim goyim ninhu. Most of the travelers are non-Jews. You don't have to say their travelers were non-Jews. You can even if the traveler was Jewish, it lacks a siman, and so you don't have to return it. There's yush. Why should you have to? Why does he stress that it belongs to? That it must have belonged to a non-Jew? He doesn't understand that. So in source number six, the Shach sort of comes to the defense. He quotes everyone. He says, "Ayan b'smab siv katan lamid bet shekatav dekivan deleke lamitli mishovach nadadav uvat sham amrinan overi derachim avru sham v'naflu mehem v'ruba de'alma overim v'shavim akum ninhu ad kam l'shino." Right? So he quotes the smab. Says it must be. You can keep it because it must have fallen from a non-Jew. V'tosvot yom tov perik lo yachpor tama alze dehav mishnah perik elamitziud muchach dem goes lot siman v'im ken afilu ruban overi derachim Yisrael shari ad kam l'shino. He says, but the Tosfot Yom Tov says, I don't understand. Why do you have to say that? There's no siman. So even if they were Jewish, you could keep it. So here's the way the Shach tries or defends the Sma against what Tosfot Yom Tov says. He says, it could be that ein ze kosha de mikol makom man lema de matzan lachar yush dilma kati lo yada de nafal mine vahav le yush lo midat dilo have a yush kedil kaman siman reish samach bet. And I give you the Gemara that the halacha is based on and little footnote number two. But specifically, there's a conversation with something. If you look at footnote number two, the second line in footnote number two, ki pligi b'davar she'ein bo siman. If you have something that doesn't have a siman, abaye amar, and this is how we paskin, lo have a yush. If something falls out, if there's no siman, and so when Shlomo realizes that he lost this item, he's going to have yush. But he doesn't know that he lost it yet. So in that case, if it fell and he doesn't know that he lost it yet, there's no yush yet. And so if I pick it up, I can't take it because there's no yush yet. It still belongs to him until we know that he knows that he lost it and then he had yush. And obviously, once he knows he lost it, he didn't have yush. But the point is, we don't know if he knows that he lost it yet. And so the Shach is saying, who's to say that that's He dropped the gozal. He doesn't know that he dropped the gozal. There's no siman, but it's yeushalomidat. So it's not, you can't, I can't keep it yet because he might not have known that he lost it. And so it would be yeushalomidat. So I can't keep it yet. And so he says that might be, that's why you'd have to say that it's a non-Jew, because had it been a Jew, you'd say, maybe this is yeushalomidat. I don't have a right to keep it yet because he doesn't know that he lost it. Since he doesn't know that he lost it, he doesn't have yeush, so I can't keep it. So that's the way the Shach, I think, defends what the Sma is saying, but clearly there are people who disagree with what the Sma said, like Tosfot Yom Tov. So how do they understand this? Why is this not an issue of Yushinul Midat? So he quoted the Sma, and he quoted his defense of the Sma, v'chen, but after the bold, the first bold in source number 6, v'chen bet Tosfot Perik Yachpar Daf Chaf Bet Amud Bet Mash Melchora Ke Asma. What are you going to do if you're Mukei Yosef for Tosfot Yom Tov? And whoever, I'm not sure who the Ayin Shin is. Okay.
Ir
Shushan? The Levush. Okay, there we go. Thank you. So the Imken, so what are they going to say? Imken, so Yichlomar, de Gozlo, Mita Yada Menefilatan, Vave Kamo, Henach Telakaman, Siman Resh Samech Bet, Sivav, Zain Chet Tet. So you must say, for them, it must be that if you have a gozal in your pocket and it falls out of your pocket, you're going to know immediately that it fell out of your pocket. And so there's no concern, oh, maybe it's the Yishlamidat. No, you know immediately that you lost it. So you can know, you can assume if you find this gozal, it's sitting beyond 50 amot from the Shovach, whether it belonged to a Jew or not, don't worry about it because that person immediately had yush on it. And so I can keep it because it's obviously he had yush on it. It's ownerless, it's now mine. Parenthetically, the Aruch HaShulchan in source number 7, I want to hear someone explain. Here's the way the Aruch HaShulchan presents all of this in source number 7. Im nimtzu chutz l'chamishim v'ma hariv shel hamotze, debevadim rivid derachim naflu. Okay, certainly fell from a traveler. U'mimishanafal hu mityaesh, de'en ben siman. He had yush, because there's no siman. Ve'mazel l'chush mishim yush shel amidat, and you don't have to worry about yush shel amidat. Because presumably he knew immediately when it fell out of his pocket, but then he puts in brackets the sma, and in
the
which and in the printed it even says this specific sma that we just quoted, but it's not the sma.
It's exactly.
Right. So
it's,
I
it's the shach. I mean,
yeah.
But there are lots of mistakes like that in the annotations in the Aruch HaShulchan. We were just talking about this the other day.
Okay.
There are lots of mistakes in the annotations.
Okay. So, meaning he didn't, the Aruch HaShulchan didn't put that in.
Right, no. So that's the suffix, is who put those things
okay.
in.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so I wasn't, that's the easy answer. I wasn't sure if I was just simply missing something, but it's that, not
no,
the Sma, but, okay.
It.
Okay, so that's that. One last piece that I saw quoted somewhere that I thought was just worth mentioning about why you might be able to keep it if it's outside of Chamishim Mama. So this is quoted, I guess, the Ragachavar in Safna Paneach, source 8. It's part of a longer piece, but I just took out the part that was relevant. Avayan Bahach Baba Batra Daf Chav Gimla Mabet Gabe Nipul Vasham Gamken Kach Derak Nipul Dehu Gozal Katan Az Shechbo Mitzvah Hashavat Aveda. Okay, Vina Mevuar Bechulin Kan Dim Mardu. If you have an animal that is, I can't think of a better word than rebelled, but like, you know, animals don't rebel. They ran away. It like rejected its ownership. I don't know. Shuf bakamehem shem ba'alim. The Baal no longer has the title as Baal here. So if this gozal has gone too far that it's either out of 50 amot or it's out of line of sight of the shovach, Havakamo mered v'shuv eno shelo. It's like it's a rebellious chick, and it doesn't belong to the Baal. It's a longer piece that goes back and forth about this idea, but it's a clever idea to say that it's the Baal of. I mean, this could have ramifications for stuff we talked about also with the after Purim when we were talking about Gezel Akum and where these birds are flying around. I don't exactly know. What to do with this, but it's a clever idea.
I think that the word there is talking about Tekdash.
Yeah.
Right? It's a
Tamagur. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So once it's rebellious, it's no longer in the under the authority of Hegdash, so something else will be here.
Not a domesticated animal anymore. It's back to being
it's wild. A wild animal.
It's a wild animal now, and therefore it's...
It's not your wild animal?
By definition,
my dog is not listening to me. Now he's running away, so it's not my animal anymore.
If it fully runs away from you, then like it's not your domesticated dog. It's now a wild roaming.
Right. It's a wild roaming dog, but is it under my achrayas? I mean, regarding Nizke Mom.
No, Nizke Mom, you're chai, but it's not yours. Aside to say that you own it.
But anymore. if it's yours as far as Nizke Mom owns, so then it should be mine.
Yeah.
If I throw, we
distinguish between moncha and shmiras and alecha. Maybe you can make the argument that uh-huh. there actually is a distinction to be made.
Interesting. So there's a shmeres alecha, but it's not your mama.
If I throw your item and break somebody's window, like I'm chayiv. It was your rock, but like I'm definitely chayiv for throwing through the guy's window.
Uh huh. But I feel like a rock is different than a.
I threw your pig through his window. Right. I'm chayiv. It's still your pig. I threw it through the window. I took your dog and I took your animal. Right, I stole it from you.
We talked about this. I sick my dog. I sick someone, Reuven's dog on Shimon. You know, like, spent a lot of time on this grandma stuff. Yeah, I don't know. I thought that was a clever, creative idea. Okay, so that's all if it's beyond Chamishim Ama. But if it's beyond Chamishim Ama, and so not going with what the Ragat Shepherd said in source number 8, but just going with this idea that what we're saying that it lacks, the Gozal lacks a Siman. So if I find it, Within Chamishim Ama, so why do I assume that it goes back to the Baal HaShovach that it's close to? Why shouldn't I assume? I assume maybe it fell from something. Like, why is it automatically going back to the Baal HaShovach if it's within Chamishim Ama of that Shovach? Maybe I'll say that it lacks a Siman, or maybe, you know, maybe a traveler is walking through lacks a Siman, and why do I automatically assume that it goes to the Baal HaShovach? So the Ritva in source number 9, Kol Echad Amar Dehavei Shel Baal HaShovach, Chaynu Afilu Belo Siman. So he points out, even if there's no Siman, you find this bird within this amount, it goes back to the Baal HaShovach, even if there's no Siman. Why? The Tamad Lo Miyash, Mipnei Shechazuto Mochiach Alav Shu Shelo. Essentially, because of its location and its proximity to the Shovach, the Baal HaShovach is never going to have Yush on this bird because he's going to know someone's going to find it. It's close to my Shovach. I'll be able to say you found it within 50 amot of my Shovach. I'll be able to get this back. So he's never going to have Yush on it. So the whole idea that you could take it beyond Chamishim Ama was because of Yush happening, but if it's within Chamishim Ama, there's no Yush on the part of the owner, and the owner is presumably what? How does who know?
Because it's closer.
Because the bird can't. I was saying if the bird is it's going to be wobbling and it can't not the wobble. Yeah, it's going to be
That's a good question actually.
If you lost
the owner doesn't know where it is.
Yeah, where it is.
If he knows where it is, it's not a loss anymore.
Uh-huh.
No, but maybe that he says lo miyayesh because he says chazdo mochiach alav. There is a siman when it's close. Once it's out of the chamishim ama, there's no longer a siman. So maybe then there's a yosh. I mean,
what does chazuto here mean?
The fact that it's close. The fact that it's close to the shovach. I think
that's what I assumed. It's proximity to the shovach.
Lav davka.
What else would it be?
Chazuk can mean appearance, but clearly then you add, then why isn't it a siman?
Even beyond.
Yeah, and chazut is also a marker at the edge of property, you know, but that doesn't make any sense here. The chazut just is something that is visible. You know, what that means here, I don't know.
I think that it's close to shovach.
Yeah.
There's just Siman Chashiva, I think, because of that.
That's what I assume. The Baal HaShovach knows I'm never going to... Even if I can't find it, it's somewhere close by. Someone will pick it up. It's going to be within 50 amot. I'll be able to say, you found it within 50 amot in my Shovach. He'll say, yep, I'll get it back. No problem. Like, he knows that he's going to get it back.
That's the same problem then. How do you know it's in the Chashim Amot?
Because it's very close.
No, but how does he know?
But how does he know?
The owner. He doesn't know where it is.
No, but he knows it can't be beyond 50. How is it going to get? Well, a vulture grabbed it and took away. You're saying maybe.
What does he know? It's like 50 amos is so far.
That's wrong.
This room is more. Like, yeah.
Right. Right.
Do we have to say that he lost it? I was assuming that this is just their pattern.
Or fell out of the.
Fly around.
or it fell out. Like,
it's just time you came across this guy's field, you found it in its normal habitat. Did he lose it?
But we assume that once it's Yachas Mishema, it's not his.
Right.
I mean, so we don't care about the owner because we assume it's not his. The reason why we take it is because we say it's not the one that lives here, it belongs to the rest of the world. So that's it.
That's if it's chuz mechamishim.
Yeah.
Right. If it's betoch chamishim.
No, if it's betoch chamishim, so we say he's probably the owner.
Right.
There is no yeush because it has a siman.
Right. So then so I can't keep it. It has to go to him. Yeah.
So that's what happens. When it's instead of chamishim, we assume that it belongs to this person, and we assume also that in that case there's no yeush. When it's beyond the chamishim, we don't think it belongs to the person who lives nearby.
Or I'd say even stronger, we know it doesn't belong to him.
He is not mityayish. How can he decide if he's mityayish or not? Again, if he doesn't know where he is.
Because no, but we assume it's nearby.
I
now find it inside the chamishim. What should I do? Wait a second. It probably belongs to him because it's inside the chamishim.
Maybe he had yush.
Is he yush?
No, there's no way he had yush.
Because
he knows
he knows that.
How he knows that?
He knows that because a bird can out.
It's not going to get that far. Yeah. It's never going to get that far.
If I find it beyond the Hamishim Amah.
No. Question is, let's say 1 foot here. No. Did the footnote have anything?
There was no footnote.
Okay.
No, but we assume once we find beyond the Hamishim Amah, we assume it's not his.
Right.
So in that case, we don't care what he thinks because it's not his.
Right, but if you find it within Chamishim Ama, it's going to be his. Oh, maybe I can give it anyway because he had Yush. He didn't have Yush.
How is it Chazuto
Mochiachara? I think because of the proximity. He knows he's not going to have. I think he's not going to have Yush on it because he knows he's not going to have Yush because he knows the whole concept. He knows he's going to get it back. Right? That's why the Siman. That's why you don't have Yush when you have the Siman, is because I know I'm going to get it back. So he knows he's going to get it back. Why? Because he knows the proximity. He knows he's going to get this bird back. So no part of him is going to say, oh, Nebuch, I lost this bird. He knows he's going to, even if he can't find it right now, he knows he's going to get it back. What? When someone was walking down the road and his bird fell out of his pocket. That's what we're assuming.
That's what's in the first page.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, it's a little bit, for me it's a little bit difficult with the lesson of the Mishnah. A little bit difficult. It says Bala Shovach. If it's not the Bala Shovach,
because because it's not the Bala Shovach's. You think that it's conceivable that we'll say, really, in truth, we know that it belongs to Bala Shovach, but since it ended up being out of 50 amot, it's Shel Motzo. The Mishnah literally thinks
that
we know it's not the Bala Shovach's anymore. Because, and that's—I mean—I think that's what everyone was saying on the first page. It must be an Ovrei Derachin.
That lashon of chazuta mochiach olav is
above
mitzia.
Okay.
That is regarding the fig, right?
Yeah, olives and carobs and
they're close enough
fruit. the kind of fruit you can't grow here. That's
what it was. Yeah. So if it falls, so you say it came from this tree, that tree.
Yeah. So I just wanted to see what chazuta mochiach olav. Yeah. Rashi there says mariso.
It's physical appearance. That wouldn't make sense here because
it appears close by.
Because if chazuto could be a siman mitoch chamishim, so it should also be a siman chutz lechamishim.
Unless the answer is because birds don't look that different from each other, and therefore, like in the greater world, you wouldn't say, oh, that came from over here, but it's right here.
I would assume they signed it in some way. They're tying something
to
the leg or whatever.
I mean, no, they didn't have tags.
No, but if that was true, then it'd be the same chutz lechamishim ama. The point is that they don't have that.
No, maybe it's not going to be the same.
No, they have a tag.
They can go outside.
They have a tag as a siman, and that's it. It's over.
No, but if I find it with a...
But it can't. It can't go more.
Right, but the Menucha Yofasov was saying that if we find it, like, there's no siman on this bird, and we know it didn't come from there, but if it could have a tag, then someone would say, ah, but if you have proof that it belongs to the Baal HaShov, but no one's saying that. Everyone's saying, it's outside of Chamishim Amah, it's Shel Motzo, period, done. There's no conversation
but
about...
But you can't do more than Chamishim Amah. So the problem would be if you find a bird with a tag out of the Chamishim Amah, but the tag belongs to someone who lives out of Chamishim Amah.
No,
how did the bird get there?
No, tag is...
How did the bird get there?
Are you saying siman
or
tag? Because if it has
a
siman,
it has a small thing.
If it has a physical siman, then there's a different story. This is not there is a physical. This is the only siman that exists is proximity. In our case, right? Correct.
Well, I think that's a little bit what we're trying to figure out.
For the Mishnah, the Gemara, it sounds like that's it's just proximity, nothing else.
That's what I would say.
Dying in the lashon of the Ritva, maybe you could say the Chazuto, but it sounds like it appears to be there. It's a way of saying it appears to be attached to that. But it's not really. It has the same. Pretend that there's a, I don't know, some sort of connection. If it's within a certain distance, I found it on your front lawn. I know it's my front lawn. Maybe it's in the street. That's how you can tell. If it's close enough, then it's yours. If not, then the guy walking on the sidewalk dropped it. And that's how you would know.
The last few words, the red sheesh masim chashiva, seems to be it's physical.
Yeah, it really does.
But it's a proximity.
It doesn't have to be.
It's proximity because of siman, it sounds like.
In other words, he said, I know a filu belo siman.
We assume before that the don't have siman. The word chazuto is its appearance.
The appearance next to it. The background. It next to the background.
I think it looks close enough to the ones that he has that, it looks similar enough, not the word close. It looks similar enough to the ones that he has that if it's right there, people will...
But we assume that in general, in because of siman, that was a Tosot Yom Tov.
Yeah, I know.
So the way if you look at that, that's footnote number one, right? If you look at footnote number one, the Mishnah that he's quoting, it's not explicit. It's sort of implicit in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says matzah achar hagapa o achar agader gozalot makusharin. You find these gozalot that are tied up, and the Bar Tanura says its wings are tied up. To chuli ama hachi mekatri lehu v'kesher kazeh lo avisiman. Everyone ties it that way, so the fact that they're tied up is not a siman. Oh, bishvilin shebasadot harei zeh lo yigabahen. You can't touch them. Why? Damrinan hani enesh atzniinhu v'ishakilhu leitluhu lemarehu simana begavehu hilkach l'shavkinu ad ati marehu v'shakilhu. Meaning, there's no siman here, so it must be that it was intentional to place. You can't take it because no one's going to be able to retrieve it if you take it from there. So it's not explicitly saying it's implicit.
It also has to be, because I think if you'll see also in source 12, that we're going to see that there is siman versus siman, and karov versus karov
are different.
So it's a different thing. Karov and siman work differently.
Well, but it might. Yes. Well, we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. Yes. And yeah. Yes. Yes. So yes. But why they work differently is. Yeah. Yeah. We'll get. So let's.
Is there a siman or not? There isn't a siman, I think.
Yeah, well, what everyone's gonna do in 12, 13, and 14, mm-hmm. is the distinction is not about siman. We'll get there. Okay, so why do we return within 50? So whatever the Ritva says, whatever he says, because chazuto mochiach alav, whatever that means, it means. Okay, the Nimuka Yosef in source number 10, he says, this is the first half of the Nimuk Yosef that we quoted earlier, and I gave you the second half here just so you can see it. But v'mamar ukva kol madada emra da yitem rechamishim hilkach havishabala shovach. Right? If it's within the 50, it's shabala shovach. To leik alamemar nilach parta ruba da'alma v'neim amarei derachim nafalt. So we're not going to say, oh, let's just follow the ovrei derachim that come through. It must be one of theirs because a lot of the travelers... Because we're dealing with shvil shel kramim, she'ein derech ovrei derachim l'sham. Because why can I assume that this is the bala shovach and not some ovrei derech? Because the ovrei derachim don't come through here, so it's totally fair to assume that it's his. If it was beyond chamishim amah, so you can't say that it's the bala shovach. So you have to say it's ovrei derech. But if you could say that it's the bala shovach, then we're going to say it's the bala shovach, and we're never going to assume it's ovrei derech because ovrei derachim there aren't in derech ovrei derachim l'sham. The Taz, in source number 11, in a different conversation, but has a line here that speaks, I think, gives a slightly different answer. Why aren't we concerned about over drachim? Maybe how do we know it belongs to Baal Shavim? Maybe someone who goes going through. People don't walk around with these birds in their pockets. So presumably it's not... If it's outside of Chamishim, you have to assume that because it's not the Bala Shovach because there's no physical way it would have gotten here. So you have to assume, you have to chalk it up to an Ovrei Derech. Yeah, but if it's within Chamishim Amah, so then better to chalk it up to more likely, which is that it belongs to the Bala Shovach and not that it was an Ovrei Derech that had used or whatever. So it must be the Bala Shovach. So we're going to return it to him. Okay, those are the first two parts. Now the last part of that Mishnah, which was if they're mechza al mechza, if it's somewhere in the middle. So the Mishnah said, mechza al mechza, shnehem yachloku. Somewhere in the middle, they split it.
So I want to ask, how could it be exactly in the middle?
like regular chatpol gachatpol. So
get out.
No, seriously, this is saying it's exactly the middle. How could be exactly the middle? I mean, the Gemara kicked out Rav Yirmiya because he said something which is right in the middle, and that was right in the middle.
Yeah,
because these things happen.
Yeah.
So why did he kick out Rav Yirmiya?
Well, that's the question. So Idan has a whole shiur on this when he talks about. Well, I don't remember what Idan had said.
Every time I'm talking about it, the next day you forget what I told you.
But I remember it was interesting. No, but I don't remember if you said this or someone else who said this. No, the issue was. Oh no, this was you. It was your shiur.
It was your shiur
that he was rejecting the concept of shiurim, right? Yeah, he was.
This is our Tosfos.
This is what. Yeah. Tosfos. Yeah.
He said that he was annoying.
Right. Yeah. Right. Oh, there you go. There you go. Yeah. It's a machlastira in the English translations of the.
The English and the Hebrew of the
Steinsaltz gives Rashi versus Tosfot. Annoying question or rejecting Chazal. Okay, either way. Fair question, Rav Yehuda. But here's the question, a different question that the Kovetz Shirim asks. And many people ask this. And when I say many people, I mean the next three sources are they're all Talmidim of one over the other, so it makes sense. It was like in the base metrics, this is what they were talking about. So he says, Sham mechza mechza yachloku makshin mai shna karov v'karov misimanim v'siman dianiach. And that's a Gemara in Baba Mitzia Chavchet. I gave you that in footnote number three, simanim v'simanim. And I gave you a little Rashi font there for Rashi's commentary. Simanim v'simanim, bau shnaim v'nanu simaneyav. Two people come and they give simanim for this. Yaniach ad shvei Eliyahu. We don't give it to either of them. It just sits. So the question is, we don't say yachloku, but why not? How is this any different? Why is Karov v'Karov any different from Simanim v'Simanim? Karov v'Karov, Yachloku, Simanim v'Simanim, Yaniach. So why? This is Vagon Rabbi Kiva Eger, Bedrish v'Chikir Hikshad HaHipuch. He asks the same question, I guess, in the opposite direction. Digam v'Simanim v'Simanim, Kevan d'Chaluka, Yechola liyot emet, Ro'i lomar Yachloku, v'lo yehemunach. He asks the other direction, like, why don't we say Yachloku over there? Here we're saying, why don't we say Yaniach? The question is, how are these different?
I think it's Drush v'Chidush.
Drush v'Chidush, okay. Drush v'chidush, shkoch, thank you. I'm not holding in Rabbi Akiva Eger. Okay. So he gives two answers. We'll do answer number one, which is going to be in sources number 13 and 14 as well, and then we'll go back to the second answer that he gives. V'yesh lomar, dekmo besafek hayanuach, delo yitol vim natal lo yachsir, v'atam kivan sheba aved eliyado, ena rashay lachsira, misafek dekra, dechtiv, says, look, you can't return a lost object, and this is in footnote number 4, you can't return a lost object to someone until you can determine that they are not a Ramai, they're not lying here. And because if they both bring simanim, you can't return it. Because he brings a siman, he brings a siman, one of them is, not, this belongs to one of them, one of them is lying here. But that's only once I've picked it up. Now I have to return this lost object. Who do I give it to? I don't know. Really? When I picked it up, before I picked it up, it was already... could belong to him, could belong. It was already karov to both of them. When I picked it up, nothing has changed. So then we could say yachloku. But if it was a lost object and I pick it up, now I have to find who's the right owner. Now something has changed. Now we can't say yachloku. Now we have to say yaniach. I found Rav Nachum in source number 13 says the same thing. I found him to just, I liked the way he said it a little clear. So I'm going to read it again in source number 13. Just if source number 12 wasn't sufficiently clear, Rav Nachum says it, I think, I found it easier to read source number 13. The Mishnah nimtza ben shnei shevachot mechza mechza yachloku v'yesh lamar od v'yesh la'ayen dihine v'am metziach chavchad medav simanim v'simanim yaniach v'iksha agon Rabbi Kiva Eger amai lo yachloku v'nakud alma liyashev. So everyone gives the answer. De aveda lo shayach din yachloku de gzer da katu v'de hashavad aveda hu ad darosh achicha uto. You can't give it back unless you know that's definitely theirs. I think Rav Shimon Shkap. When he picks it up, it already has a din yachloku. Ma she'ein ken v'simanim v'simanim, b'sha'a she'matz'a sha'echa kula l'bal ha'aveda, v'ave shomer didei. V'lachen yevshar l'mar ba achar kach yachloku. When I pick it up, now I'm like the shomer of this. I have to now determine who it goes to. Splitting it is not doing anything well. It's not doing anything appropriate here. It belongs to someone. I have to determine who it belongs to. I can't determine. I let it sit. But for this, if it's karov lezeh, it's already in the realm of din yachloku. I happen to be the one to pick it up to now be the one to enforces yachloku, but it already had a din yachloku even before I picked it up. This is the ken mashma kovetz shiurim, od 9:10. This is what Rav Elchanan had said in source number 12 as well. So that's this idea, what the difference is between them. Rav Elchanan in the second half of source number 12 gives another explanation. Bofen acher efshar lechalek de besimanim besimanim. This is the second, or I guess technically the third paragraph of source 12, the last paragraph of source 12. Bofen acher efshar lechalek de besimanim besimanim. Yashnan shnei birina machashim zetze. You have two different. He's saying it's mine. These are two contradicting. They're birina machashim zetze. V'efshar lomar yachloku neged beru. Because, and I guess if you say yachloku, it's either his or it's his. Saying yachloku is going against what each one of them is claiming. I'm claiming it's mine. To say yachloku is going to be neged the birur. Aval b'mechza mechza de'enu karov lezei yeter mizeh leikadina karov klal ve'inema yachloku einze neged shum birur. But if you say if it's karov and karov, you could tell me if
throw them both out.
What do you mean throw them both out?
He's saying we throw out each karov.
Right. And yeah, so there's no birur here that you're siding with one over the other. They're canceling each other out. And so yachloku, we split it, but it's not like it's not against one of the claimants that someone's making. That's
wait, are there claims?
On karov and karov?
Yeah.
No. I don't think so. I don't know.
They each have to be closer, I think.
It's not karov to you. It's not karov to me. Therefore, stop talking about karov bechlal, and we have no way to prove who's
there's no
is.
No. There's no beirur in one way or the other.
Can a third person now take it?
No, because they don't have even lesser of a proof.
It has to be.
We are currently tied.
So why both of them? Why not the first one?
No, because we're both closer to it. We're like, saying, it's mine, and then. This thing is
not
the Nar that he wins.
No,
but he doesn't have less.
He's not Karov.
He's not Karov. He's not Karov.
He's a Karov to the first one.
It's not the Chazi. Why not just give it to the first one who saw it?
Maybe
no, but the third person saw it. Yeah, it's not. Neither of them is on
the. I'm the one who found it. I found it.
Good. So it's yours?
No, it's not what the mission says.
Yeah, it's close, because it's for sure not his. It's both of theirs.
I mean, that's part of what you're going to have to get into.
So there has to be claiming in that case. Right. So that's a claim. Both are saying that it's theirs.
It's a claim against outsiders, but it's not a claim against the other.
I think it is Shneim Chazin. It has to be Shneim Chazin.
No, he's saying it's not.
No, Shneim Chazin,
what happens? You know?
Yeah.
You can.
That's a different.
Do they have to have a Shavua?
No, that's because you can't. That's because they both act.
What are they going to take a Shavua to here? What are they going to take a Shavua for?
It's mine.
But it's not. Know. He's not. He's not claiming it. He's just claiming it's closer.
It has to be a claim.
He's not saying it's mine. In the Shneim Ochsin case, he's saying Bevados, it's mine.
So, yeah, I think that's ancient. No, I think that the point here is that there's no birur. There's no. By splitting it, it's not contradicting anything.
What do I do? I come to person, knock on his door, tuk tuk tuk. Here's a half a pigeon. Yeah, that's what supposed to do. Or I'm supposed to listen. I found between yours. Is it yours? And he says, wait, is it yours? Well,
says
there is. I think that is a chloku.
I don't, but he's bringing up this idea of birur. Yachloku, if you say with simanin, you say yachloku, that's neged birur.
Okay, because why? Because everyone has a siman. So he gives you 100% proof this is mine, and he says 100% is mine. So you can't split it.
But in our case, inem yachloku ain ze neged shum birur. It's not against any birur.
Because there is no birur, because you don't know it's his. There's no reason to say it's his. I see now, because of the karov, I see it belongs to both of them. Either him or him, I don't know. It could be both of them. But Siman shows that it's entirely mine.
So that's why with Simanin, there's to Yachloku, you're going to be destroying the beer. Each one is claiming it's entirely mine.
Yeah, but here there's a karov that works for both of them, I assume.
Yeah. So by splitting it, you're not negating anything.
So, but the question is, do you have to have a taina here? What happens? Am I going to them?
to each of them?
And asking them, or I just split it and just send them a mishloach note and leave it outside the house.
Here's half a pigeon.
Yeah. Very interesting. It goes well.
Okay. What? Yeah?
No, I keep thinking about the difference between Karov and Simon. Simon is a real claim of, I know this is mine. Here's a raya that it's mine. Because this has a birthmark here or whatever it is. Karov doesn't really mean anything about the item at all. It doesn't really. It's just, it was found in my space. It's likely that it's mine, but I have no vados whatsoever. It's an extraneous piece of information.
So possession, hopefully next week we're going to see whether karov, is it a berur or a hanaga?
Mm-hmm.
Is it some kind of raya, saying that yes, it belongs to the person that is close to him? Or we're just thinking, there's no suffix here because this is the closest place. So there's no suffix. So it doesn't necessarily show me that it belongs to him.
Right.
But this is the way that we're just going to lachriya to suffix, to answer our question. Right. Saying, so it's not necessarily, so if it's not a berur, so it goes well, actually, with the
Rukhana. Okay, good. So one more thing in source number 14, another Shiri Rav David Pavarsky. So he has two different pieces here. The first one is what we've seen in sources 12 and 13. He quotes it in the name of Divrei Chaim. I don't know if that's
his answer.
Yeah. Okay. So
his yortza was this week.
Okay.
Kaf Hei Nisan.
So, and it's the same idea. Avshar lamar didavka hatam debishad hagbaato nichayev kfar b'hashavat l'baalim lachen lo shaych echloku v'arminan yehi munach mashen ken hacha af kodem shigbia kfar yadanu dehadin hu diachloku dekevan shemunach ben shnei shavachin havei hadin shishayech lishneihem v'nichayev b'hashavat lishneihem. So, right, the same basic idea that we've seen before, that we saw the first answer of Rav Chanan. And Rav Nachum, the same basic idea here. And then he gives another, but he says in parentheses at the very end, "Vayan od lahalan sifkaden reish lamed." Hey, he gives another answer, and this is the second paragraph of source number 14. Hine avinu la'el sifkaden reish chav aleph deha divrei chaim hikshe ma'itam benimsa ben shnei shovachot mechtzal mechtzal yachloku ma'ishna misimani v'simanim dihe munach. What's the reason? So here's this answer that he gives, which is a little bit like a tongue twister, but I think it is understandable. V'fshar lamar dehina hashach katav lachalok bein leka vade ramai uvein vade leka ramai. Right? There's a difference between definitely there is not definitely a ramai versus there is definitely not a ramai. Decha derak leka vade ramai. If there's not definitely a ramai, dein vade lanu dika ramai. But it's not certain that there is a Ramai, aval subic Ramai Ika, but there could be a Ramai here, have din dehe munach, and that's the siman of the simanim. Aval hecha de have devad, let me read that again. Aval hecha de have vade lanu de leka Ramai, it's certain that there's no Ramai, have din yachloku, v'yen shamashikatav bazele yeshe divrei shukhanach. Okay, v'im ken, lefize atishaper dekabe simanim v'simanim, yesh lomar to have rak leka vade ramai, aval lo have vade de leka ramai, v'lachen yehi munach, because there might be a ramai here. Mash'enken benimta ben shnei shavachot, ha lo shay chatam ramaut, v'ave vade de leka ramai, v'lachen yachloku.
So in that case, we're assuming that there is no claims here. Because he says,
no, but no one can be making a vadai claim because it's all karov. They're all saying, really, they're making bari.
No, that's why I said there's no shua. Because I don't know. It's here. It's here in an area where it tends to be my stuff, but I don't know what it is.
Okay, so what we've seen is the Mishnah part of this. We've looked at why is there no din hashava when it's beyond chamishim. We've seen why there is why it belongs to the Baal HaShovach when we're within chamishim. And then we've seen why this is different. Why if it's karov and karov, why that's yachloku and why not say yaniach or the other way? Why don't we say yaniach over there? Why don't we say yachloku over there? In the case of why is this different? Why is Karov a Karov different from Simanim and Simanim? That's what we've seen so far. And that's what I have on the Mishnah. Any questions on that? We just did a lot. I don't know. I I'm trying to give attention to the Zoom, but I'm not doing as good of a job as I should be. Any questions or thoughts on anything before we move on to just a brief introduction to Rav Vikarov? Yeah, Rav Yehuda.
No.
Oh, I thought you were giving me a look. Okay.
I'm fine.
Okay. All right. So now just a brief introduction to the concept of Rav Vikarov. Is the first line of the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Chanina, Rov Vakarov Ochina Char Harov, Ve'af Agav De Ruba De Araita, Ve'Kurba De Araita, Afilu Hachi Ruba Adif." So, what does this mean? Rov Vakarov Ochina Char Harov. So, source number 16, Rov Vakarov. This is Rashi. Im Badavar Lefaninu. We have something in front of us. Yesh Bo La'alecha Char Harov, Fukach. Vim Tilech Bo. So if you follow Rov, it's like this. If you follow Karov, it's like that. So what do we do? Halach bo achar harov. You follow the Rov. That's what Rov Karov Hochina Char Rov means. And the Gemara, the Rabbi Chanina had said that both of them are dini de oraita. Rov is a concept that's a de oraita concept, and Karov is a concept that's a de oraita concept. Valvagav de trevaya de oraita. So what is this? What's the de oraita? Ruba de oraita, dichtiv achrei rabim lahatot, kurba de oraita, dichtiv vahaya ha'ir hakrova. Right, so rov is de oraita, Rashi says, how do you know that rov is de oraita? Because we have a pasuk that tells us, achrei rabim lahatot. And I give you source, footnote number 5, it's a Gemara in Chulin, which is going to be relevant in a moment, in a couple moments, but this is the Gemara in Chulin, Yod Aleph Amid Aleph, Minaha. Minaha milta damar rabbanan zil bat aruba minalan. Where do we get ochina charov? What do you mean minalan? What do you mean? Dichtiv achrei rabim lahatot. This is a pasuk. Ruba de ita kaman kagon ted chaniot v'sanhedrin lo kumi ba'ilan. So the Gemara responds, we don't have a question about this. What you're talking about is a ruba de ita kaman. You have nine. Nine shops. One of them is treif. Nine of them are kosher. Nine of them are kosher. One of them is treif. But you have nine, and you're going majority rules. You have this number of judges rules this way. This number of judges that way. You follow the majority. That's ruba de ita kaman. That we're not asking. Ki kamibayalan ruba de leita kaman. What I'm asking about is ruba de leita kaman. Ki gon katanu katana minalan. The case of katanu katana, and right, I give you Rashi, what is katanu katana? It's a case of a yibum, a katanu katana. Can we allow them to do yibum or not? Because maybe this kid or the one of the yavam or yavama will end up being not able to have children, and if they're not able to have children, then they're not actually able to perform yibum, halachically performing yibum, and then you have eshet achiv. Not b'makom mitzvah, so you're actually over. It's over a riot. It's a big problem. So there, we say no. Don't worry about it. We can follow the statistical majority that most people are able to procreate. They're not ilonit. They're not asaris, and so we can assume the end of that Rashi. Ella amrinan zil bata rov ketanim to alma to inam sarisim v'hainu ruba deleta kaman. That's what the Gemara is asking. But so it's noteworthy here that according to this Gemara, Achrei Rabim Lahatot is specifically a proof for Ruba De'ita Kaman. The Ritva, in source number 17, he's going to bring both of these Gemara, but, well, not both, here. Amar B'chanina, Rov V'karav Alech Charov, Perish Milta P'sik De'nakta, Afilu Heicha De'ita Kurva De'muchach, Fainu De'akshinan L'kaman Me'uv De'tparti. Okay. V'avagav De'ruba De'oraita, K'titit Be'perakam De'chulin, She'acharei Rabim Lahatot, Inami. It could be that, or it could be Me'edim Zomamin, and that's footnote number 6, which is the continuation of that Gemara in Chulin Yud Aleph Amud Bet, which is now in the subject of how do we know that there's such a thing as Rov in a Ruba de Leita Kaman. One of those proofs that's the footnote number 6, Ravina Amar Atim Me'edim Zomamin, which is how do I know, if you have the Edim Zomamin that are plotting to kill this guy, so we kill those guys, they're planning to kill him. Maybe though they were going to try to kill him and he was a trefa, so they shouldn't be killed. No, we're going to follow the statistical rove, rova de leite kaman, and not be concerned. Right, the Gemara in Chulin says, the lechu shtilma hach da ashidu be trefa, hava elalav mishum de amrinan zil bata ruba. No, we follow the statistical majority. That guy's probably not a trefa, and so you can execute them because they're plot to kill him. Because had they succeeded, he would have been killed and it wasn't a treifa. But that's a ruva delayta kaman. So Chidushei Ritva, the Ritva in source number 17, his proof that you follow the rov is the first one is Achar Bim Rabim Lahatot, which is a ruba de ita kaman, and then he brings Inami Meidim Zomim, which is a ruba de leite kaman, and this is explicit. The Ran sort of makes this point explicitly in source number 18. Rabbi Chanina rov ikarav halacha char rov avagav de ruba de oraita perish to the perish to the perish. Thank you. That lama didn't make sense if it was Laperish. Dialfino parakama de chulin me'idim zomim, dazlina bata ruba, afilu ruba de leite kaman, because he's learning it from edim zomimim. So, hat tip to a dear friend of mine, Smichas Chaver, Ezra Blaine, who's going to listen to this recording because I told him I was going to quote his name. He gave me this Porat Yosef, source number 19. I do not know who he is. Okay. So Milashon Rashi Zal, so he makes this point explicit. Davka Milashon Rashi Zal, Davka Ruba de Ita Kaman, Da'atilan Mefurash, Kideita Bechulin, Ruba de Ita Kaman, Lomi Bayalan, Bechola Sugya Mayer Baruba de Ita Kaman, Avaruba de Leita Kaman, Vikarov, Efshar, Dehaini Ochina Charakarov. It could be that Rabbi Chanina is going to say, based on what Rashi's saying, that the whole limud is specifically from Ruba de Ita Kaman. But if it's a Ruba de Leita Kaman versus Karov, maybe Rabbi Chanina wouldn't have anything, wouldn't agree with that. He would say Ochina Char Karov. He's being medayik in the language of Rashi.
I mean, the Rov in our Gemara is Ruba de Leita Kaman. Right?
Why?
Most birds don't travel more than 50 yamas.
No, but we're saying that it comes from the majority of the world, which is Kaman.
Right?
Yeah. What is the Rov? The Rov here is not, is it close to here, or does it, we hold that this belongs to the rest of the world because it's Rov Tzipporim don't go beyond 50? We said no, it comes from the world, the majority of the cities of the world, I think. Or the majority of people walking around.
That's less a Kaman.
No, that is either Kaman. They're here. The rest of people.
What is the rove that we're working with here? What is our rove?
It's either the rest of the world or this Shomach. That's our question. Leisa Kaman usually is regarding Teva.
No, that's not what I mean. I had understood that the rove that we're talking about is the principle of most birds don't travel more than 50 amos.
No.
So that's the thing.
I don't think that's the roof.
So what is the roof?
Is it this belongs to this Shabbat or this belongs to the rest of the world?
That's Karov.
Well,
that's the same thing as Karov.
It's either Karov or the rest of the world.
The Gemara immediately after this Mishnah immediately transitions to Rabbi Chanina, and then there's a whole conversation about whether Rabbi Chanina is right. Rabbi Zeir is the one who brings various cases to maybe, but yeah, I think I'm.
So what you're saying is
the Gemara
that
correctly.
The rov here is
Arubadisa Kaman, Deita Kaman. That there is people in the world. Is it that person's or that person? So the majority of people are here.
I've been sitting on Chavdal and Rebez all week, so I'm not in this. But I didn't think that was the rove we were doing here.
No, because then the Gemara says Deleita. There's actually no other.
The question is, in that case, what kind of Deleita command do we have here? Unless he agrees also with Deleita command. Abchanina. Okay.
Next week.
Not promising.
Okay. One last piece. 11:24. One last piece on this.
Just one question. Yeah. Why is it so obvious to the Porat Yosef that if it was a Ruba de Leisa Kaman,
that it would be Ochen Achar Karov?
Definitely Karov. Who says?
Right. I think he's just being medayik from the fact that Rashi. He's thinking the fact that Rashi chose this pasuk specifically, which is specifically Ruba de Ita Kaman,
unless he knows that Ruba de Ita Kaman is better than Ruba de Leisa Kaman.
Right.
And then, yeah.
Right. All right, so how do we ended up saying that Rabbi Chanina said that we follow Rov against Karov. So if they're both D'oraita, so he didn't explain why we do that. So just a quick little shots here. Chiddush, the Ritva in source number 20 says, Afilu Ruba, Afilu Hachi, they're both D'oraita, Ruba Adiv. Evshar, D'gmar Gamir lies. It's, I guess, some tradition, Masorah that Rabbi Chanina has, that we're going to, even though it's Rov and Karov, they're both D'oraita, we follow Rov. The She'iltot Rav Achai Gaon, source number 21, he presents it more. Tani Rabbi Chanina, Rov v'karov halacha char harov, Af agav deruba de'araita v'karov de'araita. Svarahu, deruba shchiach yoter mikarov. It's a svara. Prikativa haita ir krova lachalal kshishtein shavod aval hechot echada ruba hi avagav dehach krova bata ruba azlina. So it's a svara that makes it seem that it's more likely that if there's a rov versus karov, the likely correct answer is that it's the rov, not karov.
Okay.
Yeah. What's that? Yeah. I mean, you would think that you could argue. I mean, that the whole Gemara is predicated on the fact, well, maybe you can't argue that. So if it's all svara, then it's an interesting machloket to have if it's all based on svara. But then the Gemara is going to go back and forth. Maybe you do. If it's all svara, it's a... Okay. One last piece, Chirushei Abach, that I'm realizing here it's very difficult to read, but on my computer it's very, very clear. The Chirushei Abach says, Tema minale le Rabbi Chanina. I've been reading it off my computer because it's so much crisper there. Minale le Rabbi Chanina ha. How do we know? Right? How do we know this idea that we follow the Rov versus Karov, they're both Deoraita? So if you skip to the many underlined lines, Venira Rabbi Chanina darishla miyatura dekra midechazer vekata v'chozik nehayir ha'hi ha'korvim ala chalal. Because we have the pasuk adds yatura dekra that it adds v'chozik nehayir ha'hi ha'korvim ala chalal, all the zkanim of the city that's krovim to the chalal. You don't need that line because we've already established that the zakenim are coming from the closer city. It's only trying to stress that in this case is when we're following karov. But generally we follow rov. And then he says, we don't need that at all because we already know Achrim Lahatot. Michlal da'ata la'orui de'lo mi'baya dazlina bataruba hecha de'leka karov kenegdo. And we're saying this here to point out, even though we already know there's a concept of rov, so obviously Achrim Lahatot, we're going to follow rov. But it's being stressed here to teach de'lo mi'baya dazlina bataruba hecha de'leka karov. It's not only we follow rov when there's no karov kenegdo, el afilu hecha de'ika karov kenegdo nam yochin acharov, that rov is the super powerful one that we're always going to follow. Except for here, when there's karov, that there's a specific yitur dekra to stress. Here, we're going to follow karov, but under normal circumstances, rov always wins.
It's kind of difficult because the Gemara is going to tell us that there is no rov here.
Right.
So in that case...
The Gemara is going to tell us that there is no rov here?
There is no rov, yeah, because it's in the mountains.
Oh, right.
So in that case, the Gemara tells us that this pasuk is specifically when there is no rov. I mean, if it was true that only here we're going according to the karov, not according to the rov,
then it'd be nice if there was a rov.
So I agree with you. So only here you have the karov, but the Gemara is going to tell us this is discussing when there is no rov. So the kasha, I think, on the Bach.
Okay, I look forward to hearing your tirutz in behalf of the Bach. Okay, so that's a little bit of an introduction also into the rov v'karov, that the idea that rov v'karov, there's a rov ruva deraita. The rov could be ruba de ita kaman, de leita kaman. Maybe the dinim are different if it's either of them. And the why we would follow rov over karov if they're both dini de oraita. Why would we follow one over the other? Svara, xerata katuv, it's gemara gemirila. And I think next week we're going to get into more of the details of rov and karov and what does karov mean? How do we know karov? I think you said where chazaka is going to play into this. If you have rov and karov, there's also chazaka on one of the sides. So we'll get more into that with that. But thank you very much.
Just a special yeshkoach to Rav Jared, because we had to scramble this week in terms of who was going to give the shiur. We didn't know if Rav Yehuda was going to be back.
Thank you so much.
And Rav Jared jumped into the fray on like Tuesday night and said,